May the Lord help us to commence our harvest thanksgiving services by singing the hymn on the hymn sheet. Come, ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in, ere the winter storms begin. God, our Maker, doth provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come, raise the song of harvest home. The hymn on the hymn sheet.
Thank you. May the Lord grant unto us understanding as we read from his word this afternoon. Two psalms, Psalm 100 and Psalm 102. Psalm 100 and Psalm 102, a psalm of praise and a prayer of the afflicted. Psalm 100, a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Now Psalm 102, a prayer of the afflicted, when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me. In the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread, and mingled my drink with weeping because of thine indignation and thy wrath. For thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favour her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favour the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Leave the reading of God's holy word there, and may each of us now be given that much needed help to truly pray. O most holy and almighty Lord God, one that lives and reigns over all, one that sees every action of ours, one that knowest every thought. And as we gather for these Thanksgiving services today, we do so in thy sight. And yet, Lord, may those just not be words from our mouth. May we truly have that understanding that we are gathering in thy sight. Thou knowest how we have gathered, the thoughts, the desires that we have in our hearts, whether we are far off or near, whether we are cold or whether we are full of that love unto thee. Lord, we can hide things from our friends and our family. For man looks on the outward appearance, but thou lookest on the heart. So humble us under a felt sense of thy presence this afternoon. For without that, Lord, we will not rightly worship. Unless we have that true understanding of who thou art and who we are, we will not be humbled. We will not be laid low. We will not be able to look to a precious Saviour. Lord, it is thy work. But may it be today that through our gathering, our hearts may be filled with true thankfulness. For we each have different pathways to walk in. And we have to prove more and more that God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. But may we see thy wonders working in the hearts and the lives of all gathered here today, and those unable to gather for one reason and another, that we may be thy people, we may have been said to truly worship, and as we have been singing in that first hymn, that we may be gathered in at last to thee. Oh, and if that is our focus in our worship today, if our eyes are drawn to that great day when we will be delivered from everything here below that troubles, tries and perplexes us, we will have worshipped. We will have seen our Saviour. We will have seen our Father's love. But Lord, for that we need thy blessed Spirit. We need that stirring up within our hearts. We need that quickening, Lord, where there are those dead in trespasses and sins. We need the sanctifying work of thy Spirit, changing and renewing our hearts so that we may truly follow and become more Christ-like. And Lord, may that be the way that we are led in. And prove with the hymn writer to know my Jesus crucified by far excels all else beside. To be led by faith to thy dear Son. To understand more and more that, oh, we are wretched, we are undone, we are poor, we are sinful. Yet thou art gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy, the friend of sinners. Oh, Lord, we are unworthy of the least of thy goodness, but as we come now, may we come with that right thankfulness in our hearts. We see the seasons come, the seasons go, We may look at the beginning of the time of harvest or before the harvest and wonder, oh, where will the weather be? Is it too dry? We need the rain. Is it too wet? We need the sun. But once more, we see the harvest safely gathered in. Not many months ago, there was barely a blade of grass. And now we see the fields lush and green. Lord, we see that thy promises, they fail not. And through the changing seasons, through the thought that there will be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, may that draw comfort to our souls that all thy covenant promises can never be broken to. May we know that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That though our souls through many changes goes, thy love no variation knows. Lord, may we be strengthened in our faith to look to all that we have round about us, knowing that thou art in control. And Lord, as we look at our nation at this time and we see such confusion, we are living in an unprecedented time of change and instability. Lord, we could, and we do, rightly be concerned by these matters, but, O Lord, may thy people find rest through thy word and see that kingdoms are raised, kingdoms are laid low and removed, kings are lifted up and cast down, but thou changest not. It's our only hope. May it be the rock upon which we build thy word. And as we see our wicked land undermining thy word, as we see now our nation building its laws and its pathway upon the ever-changing opinions of man, open the eyes, we pray, so that they may turn again to thy word with those repentant hearts, so that again we may be filled with thankfulness that our nation is a nation that values thy word. And yet, Lord, although there is much to cast us down and concern us, may we still be filled with thanksgiving that we have not got the government we truly deserve, that we have not been completely abandoned, that there is a remnant that remains still, that we have peace to worship thee, we have that privilege and we can do so free of persecution. Lord, may we never again take for granted the privilege of being able to assemble ourselves together in this public fashion. And Lord, may our hearts be filled with thankfulness for that. But Lord, we pray especially for the children and young people gathered with us this afternoon. And as they may feel, as we used to feel, another service. But Lord, may it not just be another service. May they have something which they remember today. May they be able to remember their Creator in the days of their youth. May their eyes be drawn while they are young to see their need. Lord, keep them, we pray. For we are living in a day where there is so much temptation for all of us. Yet we know those temptations are no different to whatever thy people have endured throughout this earth. Yet, Lord, how surrounded we are by them. So to be with the children, be with the young people, bless them in their hearts, we pray. May they be kept and raised up to be pillars in thy house, to be true worshippers, to honour and value thy house, to long to be in thy cause. Yet, Lord, it's not just the young people and children. Maybe there are those older in years who need that desire in their hearts too, to come and worship thee. Lord, thou canst cut through the most difficult of cases. Lord, quicken the dead. Lord, bring that comfort again to the downcast. Come and appear in our worship. To be with all here, be with those in positions of power and authority in this church, Lord, that thou hast given them. Lord, do give them much wisdom in the way forward. Guide and direct them, Lord, in all their pathways. And as they have varying ministers to come and preach thy word week by week in this place, Lord, may there be that fruit that follows from the preached word. May there not be that labouring in vain. Lord, may signs be seen. May the church be strengthened. May souls be drawn more and more to love and praise thee. Lord, may it be even in this time we live, many, many souls brought to trust in thee. We pray for this village and the surrounding villages. Lord, may in thy mercy many be brought in. Lord, nothing's too hard for thee. We thank thee for the many Bibles that have been taken from the doorstep. May they have been read. May they have been understood. May there have been prayer over them. And may there be those signs following also in this. Lord, work in our day, and as we pray for a revival in our land, Lord, may we do so with that submission, knowing what revivals are often accompanied by. Much hardship, much trouble, and much trial. Yet, Lord, if it be thy will that these things fall upon this nation, may it be for the glory of thy name. May it be for the strengthening of thy church. And yet, Lord, if it is thy will that thy judgments grow severe upon us, for we have seen the judgments affecting the health of the nation. We are seeing now thy judgments affecting inflation and the wealth of our nation. We have seen our queen taken. We have seen our prime ministers taken. Lord, surely, surely this is a speaking voice. May thy people hear, and may many hear. May a day of prayer be called. May there be much prayer in our hearts for these things. For Lord, we are living in truly uncertain times. We pray for those places where there is conflict at this moment. Lord, thou knowest what these things must mean. May it be even there that many are drawn to ponder their end and may find that place of safety, comfort and peace in the wounded side of thy dear Son. But Lord, we each need it. Whether young or old, whether male or female, Lord, all here this afternoon, may there be that desire to know more of thee. Oh Lord, may we never stop growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Deliver us from a static situation. Lord, may there be that true understanding more and more of who we are, which will cast us down. But Lord, when we see more and more of who thou art and thy great mercy and love, then our eyes will be lifted up. That is our chief prayer today, that our eyes may be lifted up in thanksgiving through our circumstances and through all things. Lord, we give thanks unto thee in this place that there have been those babies born in the past year and in past weeks, healthy, and through, although there may have been those many hard times, Lord, there is that thankfulness that must be given by all the congregation for the safe deliverance of those babies and for the safe keeping of those mothers. And we pray for them as they grow up that they may be thy people. We pray for all those that have had much preparation to do for this day. And for all that is involved, Lord, do bless them in their labours. And as they serve thee in this way, Lord, may they be honoured, and do bless them too. Lord, we ask that thou wilt bless our churches that we are connected with, all places that are represented here this afternoon. Lord, we pray What we have prayed for the church here, we pray for them too. That there may be a godly increase. That there may be fruit from the preached word. That there may be encouragements from time to time. And there may be much grace and wisdom given to carry on in this day. But Lord, we not only pray for the places represented here, but for all places of worship where thy name is truly preached. Lord, and thy word is laid before the people as it should be. Lord, we pray that there may be much growth in our day. But Lord, as we gather this afternoon, thou knowest our need, thou knowest the needs of all. We need much wisdom to open thy word up to the people today, and thou knowest our thoughts and concerns. But Lord, may it be a time where we have to prove thou wast with us. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Let thy bright beams arise. Dispel the darkness from our minds and open all our eyes. Send thy Spirit down, dear Lord, so that we may not worship in vain. Fill, oh, fill us, Lord, we beg. Pour in that we may be able to pour out to the people. Remove all distracting thoughts. Give them those ears to hear and those hearts prepared to receive thy word. Lord, come, we pray. Come, dear Lord Jesus, into our midst this afternoon. And may we have a precious time in thy house today. Forgive all we've asked amiss, that which we've forgotten to pray for in our weakness. Lord, may it have been prayed for by those before us. And our prayer be a united prayer unto thee. And do intercede for us, dear Lord Jesus, for we ask all in thy precious name. Amen.
Hymn number 834. While heavenly hosts their anthem sing in realms above the sky, let worms of earth their tribute bring, and Lord, the Lord Most High. Hymn 834.
Thank you.
great need of the Lord to help us each this afternoon, both in the preaching and the hearing of the word. I'll ask you to turn to the first psalm that we read, Psalm 100 and verse 5. Psalm 100 and verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. A psalm of praise, which concludes with this verse: For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all nations. We read those two psalms for a reason. For we read this Psalm 100, and it says, Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And yet there are those times, and maybe there are some of you here today who think, I can't. I have not got it within me to be glad at this moment, because I have got this in my life and that in my life. And if you knew what I was in, you wouldn't be saying to me, Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. I can't do it because of my situation. So we read that Psalm 102, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed. But the heading of that psalm doesn't stop there, does it? Because when one is feeling afflicted and overwhelmed, the child of God has something to go to. He can pour out his complaint before the Lord. And so that is why, isn't it? The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, could say, couldn't he? We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And you know, the Apostle Paul, in so many of his letters, when he was in prison, when he was enduring great hardship, seemed to be full of joy. Because he had to prove, and we all have to prove, that there is something secret that sweetens all. And so may the Lord help us to look at this psalm, consider what we have, and therefore, as he grants his grace, lift up our hearts with gladness, so that we can have said this day to have been thankful unto him and blessed his name. You know, we have these services, don't we, that come round. We may call them different things. But we should take note of what we call them. This being a harvest Thanksgiving service. And as we sung that first hymn, Is that how you came this afternoon? Come, ye thankful people, come. Raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in, ere the winter storms begin. God our Maker doth provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come. Raise the song of harvest home. And there is a real something to learn in this, in our land. And I'm as guilty as any. We don't value the harvest that we've got, because we always get a harvest, don't we? We live in a land that is favourable for harvest, for food production. But what about if we were in the depths of Kenya or in Ethiopia and the rains hadn't come and we'd missed a year's harvest, or the harvest had been so poor that there was barely enough to sustain us? Oh, what about the next year when all the conditions are right? Oh, how full of thankfulness we would be then. Dear friends, there's a lesson for us in this. We don't truly value what we've got until it's taken from us. There is that hymn, that children's hymn, isn't there? Count your blessings. Count them one by one. Well, if we were to do that, that would take up the rest of today and well into tomorrow. In fact, we wouldn't even be able to number the multitude of the blessings that we have. But we don't see them and we don't appreciate them until they're taken. Your loved ones, your family, your job, your health. What do you truly value? You'll only really value it when you have to go without it. So as we look through this psalm, may the Lord guide us and open our eyes to see that He is truly good, to see that His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations. So the Lord is good. The Lord is good and is in control. That's something not to say lightly, is it? That God is in control. But that's where in Psalm 102, whoever penned that psalm was led to that point. Although he was overwhelmed, although his heart was smitten, although his days were consumed like smoke, although he'd weakened him, laid him low, what was he led to see? It was of old hast thou laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Thou shalt endure. He poured out his complaint to the Lord, and he could see through it all. Thou shalt endure. The Lord is good. And to know that he is in control of everything should be a comfort to us. My thoughts went earlier today to that proverb in Proverbs 16 and verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And for you children here this afternoon, the lot being cast into the lap is the equivalent today of what we would do with a dice. Roll a dice and see what number would come up. And they used to make decisions on certain things by doing something like that. And yet even in our lives, even rolling a dice, whatever number comes up is ordered by God. Depends how our arm moves. It depends which way up it started on. Even such little things are in God's control. You may say, but surely not even the little things? If there is one tiniest thing in this world that is not in God's control, nothing is in His control. You may have learnt that poem at school, which goes something like this, doesn't it? For the want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For the want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For the want of a horse, the rider was lost. For the want of a rider, the battle was lost. For the want of a battle, the kingdom was lost. Or something like that. One small thing can affect so many things in your life. So many things. The problem is, at some points in your lives, you may look on the things that are happening in your life and you cannot see that it is working for good. And that's when we really need to pray. Oh Lord, give me faith to believe that this thing at the moment, which I cannot see why it's here, is for my good. Because all we're looking at is that point there in our life, and we cannot see how that point will get us to that point. But it will. And it's only in that looking back. And that's where we need such faith, dear friends, isn't it? To be able to say, as Paul says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things. Why? For the Lord is good. Is good to His people. And He will use all these little events in your lives for your eternal good. For your eternal good. The Lord is good. And likewise, earlier today, my thoughts went to Daniel. And you know what that man had to go through. Well, that man had to endure. And see in his life. And in chapter 2, verse 21, he said this. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. God is in control of our kings. God is in control of the equivalent now. Our prime ministers. The Lord is good. In His wisdom, He has seen to cause a period of great uncertainty in our nation. And we may not see why. We may not understand why. We may question how that can be good. We may question why some law is brought into this land which is against the word of God and say, how can that be for our personal good? We cannot always know. But for the Lord's people, it will be for their good. It will be for their good. Maybe it will bring them to prayer. Maybe it will bring them to concern. You could say it with so many of characters in the Bible, couldn't you? Why was Peter led to deny his Lord 3 times? Why was he brought to that great place? When he went out and wept bitterly, how could he say, oh Lord, how is this for my good? How can it be for my good? Oh, so that his character was moulded. So that he could learn how weak he was. So that he could have the corners knocked off of his pride. So he had to be humbled. And so that he could be a pillar in the early church for the good of thousands, nay, millions. And you can think of many examples. Many examples. How could Job say, oh, how can this be for my good? How can all this trouble that I am going through, How can I say in this, the Lord is good? Because all that Job went through, what did it give him? A greater sight of his God. Yea, I have heard thee, but now mine eyes see thee. Now through this, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. And a real example for us here is the life of Joseph, isn't it? What about that, dear man? You know, all that he had to go through in his life, and maybe we should consider it just for a few moments. All his father did was made him a coat of many colours. You children know the story well, all of it, don't you, probably? He made him a coat of many colours. What was the problem with that? Yet from making that one coat, what great things happened. What great things happened. Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colours. If he hadn't have made that coat, would the rest of what happened to Joseph have happened? Would it? Would he have been taken captive? Would he have been thrown into a pit? Would he have been led into Potiphar's house, sold into Potiphar's house? Would he have been thrown into prison? Would he have been raised up to be the second in command in Egypt, to save many, many people? Would it have been? Would it have been possible? And what did Joseph say at the end when he was with his brothers? He said, didn't he, "As for you, ye thought it. Ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. For the Lord is good." That's what Joseph was saying. I couldn't see it. You know, if you'd have asked Joseph when he was in the pit, when he was in prison, when he had been forgotten, would he have said then, "Oh, the Lord is good"? Well, he would have done if he had faith. But I guess there were those times when he questioned it. But when he looked back through all of it, he could say, "Yes, the Lord is good." But this is in providence we have touched upon so far, that the Lord is good. And really, that could, and the verse 3 is central in this psalm. "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us. He is in control of all of our circumstances." But there is a greater work. It is that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture, and therefore his mercy is everlasting. It's a theme, dear friends, that runs through the book of the Psalms, isn't it? That his mercy is everlasting. Oh, that we may have faith to believe it. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 118, where it repeats it time and time again. His mercy is everlasting. And you children may say, "Well, what does mercy really mean?" And a very simplistic way of looking at it is this: mercy can be viewed as God withholding what we truly deserve. For we are all sinners. We have all come short of the Lord's glory. We do not deserve his love. We do not deserve his goodness. We have no right in and of ourselves to come and be thankful this afternoon. Because we've done nothing to, in and of ourselves, to merit God's love. But his mercy is everlasting. That's what we read in Psalm 103, isn't it? Just a psalm over from the second psalm we read. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. The Lord is merciful, and his mercy is everlasting. That's how the hymn writer could pen that hymn number 11, wasn't it? Because he had known personally a little of that mercy of God. Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song, the joy of my heart and the boast of my tongue. Thy free grace alone, from the first to the last, has won my affections and bound my soul fast. And you know, if you've come in this afternoon and think you've got nothing to be thankful for, nothing, you cannot see anything to be thankful for, well, there is one thing, if you can see nothing else, that at this moment you are not in the depths of hell as you deserve. Thy mercy in Jesus exempts me from hell. Its glories I'll sing and its wonders I'll tell. Towards Jesus, my friend, when he hung on the tree, who opened the channel of mercy for me. But maybe we should come a little lower. Maybe there is one here this afternoon saying, well, I don't know. I don't know if Jesus is my friend. Whether he hung on the tree for me. Whether that channel of mercy was for me. Well, if you're there, at least there is a channel of mercy. And the door of that mercy stands open all day to the poor and the needy who knock by the way. And no sinner shall ever be empty sent back who comes seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. So you may not feel that you can lay claim to that mercy, that you cannot experience that mercy for yourself. But that door is still open. That door is still open. And if you are asking and if you are seeking and if you are knocking, that door will be open. And in that there's something to be thankful for. That your heart is not as hard as stone as it once was. That you at this moment are desiring to know personally that he hung on the tree for you. His mercy is everlasting. There is that great work of redemption where Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You know, we spoke about the works of God, and my thoughts went to that hymn number 88. How wondrous are the works of God, displayed through all the world abroad, immensely great, immensely small, yet one strange work exceeds them all. It's that work of redemption. It's that Almighty God sighed human breath. The Lord of life experience death. How it was done, we can't discuss. But this we know, 'twas done for us. His mercy is everlasting. And I nearly read this afternoon that portion in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, about the lepers. Jesus, when he walked on this earth, had mercy and pity on those lepers. He entered into that village and he met those 10 lepers. He healed them all. And they went on their way clean. But there was only one that gave thanks. Were not 10 cleansed? Jesus said. Where are the 9? Where are the 9? But Jesus, when he spoke to that one who fell at his feet, that one was not only cleansed and made whole in his body, but he was made whole in his soul too. Jesus said to him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And the reason I quoted that was because it came to me like this. Yes, we can say the Lord is good for all that we have. That's what those 10 lepers did. All of them would have acknowledged the Lord is good. They would have been grateful for what Jesus had done. But there was only one that was truly thankful. And that was the one that experienced his true mercy in making him truly whole, that then knew that his mercy is everlasting. So whatever case we may be in this afternoon, can we say, and have we heard the words of Jesus to that leper, "Thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Are we healed? Do we have all we want externally? Can we say God is good? But has our faith made us whole? Because it's only then that we can truly come in with this Psalm 100. It's only then that we can truly come in with Psalm 102 and have somewhere to pour out our complaints to, when we know and can confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When we know him as our God, our Saviour, our Redeemer, our Friend, our Shepherd. And that's the beauty of this psalm as well, isn't it? We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You may feel to be the most foolish sheep in Swavesey Chapel this afternoon. You may feel to be more in the ditch than in the pasture. You may feel that your fleece is full of thorns and brambles and everything else that you've picked up along the way. You may feel to be a mess, but have you ever felt the love of your shepherd? His mercy is everlasting. His mercy is everlasting. He sees you this afternoon limping along, falling this way and that, making so little progress. Yet his eye is upon you, caring for you. If we are his people and the sheep of his pasture, we can prove his mercy is everlasting. Is everlasting. It is only then that we can say, "Now I see, whate'er betide, all is well. If Christ be mine." And when we are broken, when we are laid low, when we feel to be like that sheep, we're humbled. We know we have no strength. We know we are weak. Yet when we are made weak, can we prove with the Apostle Paul that when we are weak, then we are really, truly strong? Because we're not going in our own strength. And then more and more we feel to need his mercy. And we have to prove that his mercy is everlasting. Where are you this afternoon? Can you say that the Lord is your shepherd? Can you say I shall not want. Can you enter into the beauty of that Psalm 23 and all that is contained therein? So much there for us, isn't there? So much. Have you had to prove that he restoreth your soul? Have you had to prove that sometimes you have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death? But have you had to prove too that you'll fear no evil? For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But how does that psalm close? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. His mercy is everlasting. There are some in some churches that will preach that our salvation has some little to do with ourselves and what we do. But if it was with us and up to us, we'd have to look to ourselves for mercy. We'd have to look to ourselves for strength. If any of my salvation, your salvation, was to do with you, would you not fear that it could be taken from you? That we could fall away? But his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Oh, what a word that is. It endureth to all generations. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We sang that second hymn together, didn't we? Number 834. And in that we sung, didn't we? All creatures to his bounty owe their being and their breath. But greatest gratitude should flow in men redeemed from death. His only Son he deigned to give. What love this gift declares. And all that in the Son believe, eternal life is theirs. It endureth to all generations. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today, and forever. He redeemed men from death. And that way is the same way. His truth endureth to all generations. And that way is this, isn't it? Cause you to realize your need. Cause you to realize your want of him. Cause you to see who God is. Cause you to see the need of his dear Son. Cause you to come by faith and repentance as those gifts are given. And to come with top lady, as it says in Hymn 143, with nothing in our hand we bring, simply to thy cross to cling. And you may say, well, is that praise? Is that thanksgiving? Is that making a joyful noise unto the Lord as we come into his house? Dear friends, it is. You know, we may look at praise and thanksgiving and joyfulness as being full of happiness all the time. But in that word happiness, it is dependent upon what is happening. It doesn't say make a happy noise. It says make a joyful noise. And joy is far deeper. We've come full circle. That's how Paul could say he was cast down and not forsaken. Because what was happening to him was not comfortable, was not good. But he knew the Lord is good. He knew his mercy is everlasting. He knew his truth endureth to all generations. Therefore he could be filled with joy and not happiness. And he could come in despite his circumstances and make a joyful noise unto the Lord because of who the Lord is, not because of who he was and what he was in. And this is what the psalmist was getting at in Psalm 100 and Psalm 102. And that's what we need to understand more and more. We can make a joyful noise unto the Lord, whatever we are in, as faith is given to believe that he is good, that his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. My thoughts go to the words of Paul in Romans chapter 8 in the latter verses. Whatever he was in, the Apostle Paul could say, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's how he could say it. That's how he could carry on. That's how he could sing when he was in prison with Silas. That's how we could sing those praises. Why? Because he knew that his God changed not. And may that be a comfort to you and a comfort to me in whatever we may have before us in the coming days, weeks, months, years, decades of our life. The Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Because you pin your hopes on anything else in this life, and it can be taken from you in an instant, in a moment. Some of us have had to prove it. Some of you will yet have to prove it. But if we can say, now I see, whate'er betide, all is well, if Christ be mine. So this afternoon, how have you come in? And how are you leaving? Do you know that the Lord, he is God? Do you truly understand that it is he that hath made us? And not we ourselves? That's where we get to, isn't it? Man worship. We're so important, we worship ourselves and don't understand that he made us. Can we say we are his people and the sheep of his pasture? But maybe you say, as we draw our thoughts to a close this afternoon, maybe you say, oh well, I did know the Lord. There were those times in my earlier life where I felt the shepherd near me all the time. And his arms were ever close to me. In fact, I felt I was carried so much, and now I don't feel it anymore. The shepherd cares just as much for the sheep as he does the lambs. And when you were a lamb in Christ's fold, a weakling in faith, he had to carry you. He had to carry you because you were too weak. But as you've grown, you may not have felt to have grown. But as you have grown in grace and the Lord has led you through, now you feel those times where you're on your own and you fear. Yet may you prove in Psalm 23 that yea, though you fear walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and fear many things, may you prove still that he is with you. And each of us prove today the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen.
The collections today are for the Savannah Education Trust. Tea will be provided shortly after the close of this service, and you're invited to sit on either side of the chapel, and preferably towards the front, please. Our closing hymn is number 938. When thou, my righteous judge, shalt come to take thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand? Shall such a worthless worm as I, who sometimes am afraid to die, be found at thy right hand? Hymn 938.
Thank you.
Oh dear Lord, we thank thee for those psalms that we have read together this afternoon. And whichever place we may feel to be in, Lord, may our eyes be drawn to one that is good, one whose mercy is everlasting, and one whose word changes not. Lord, we live in times where we don't know what the future will bring, but we know there will be that day when all things on this earth will come to an end. And may each one here be given that great faith to desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Do bless the food which we will have shortly, and may we truly be thankful for even that which we so frequently take for granted, and for all of thy many, many, many mercies. Forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss in our worship, but that which has been of thee, may that alone remain with the people and be applied with thy dear spirit with power, so that it may do them true good. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.